You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's the final hour on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Going to be a busy offseason in the NFL because a lot of teams are looking at a change at quarterback. And usually, you know, there's a love fest around the league. You know, you hear nice things about Carson Wentz or Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, John Elway was talking about Drew Lock. Although John Elway no longer is the GM, the new GM comes in. So Drew Lock has this next year to prove himself, or they'll probably move on. But I don't know what any of this means. Coaches are notorious liars, and they're going to say nice things. But, you know, you're trying to find out what the real take is, the real feeling is on the front offices. But they're not going to let you know, and they shouldn't let you know. I mean, look at Green Bay last year. There was all this talk about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the fact that the Packers have Aaron Rodgers, they were still looking at their future. And Aaron Rodgers is going to be your MVP. They take Jordan Love. No other team is in this situation where you have Aaron Rodgers and we're going to go out and try to find his successor. But there's so many possibilities here of, you know, you start at number one, Trevor Lawrence. Then you got number two with the Jets. Do they take a quarterback or do they keep Sam Darnold? Do you trade that? You know, the Bears with Mitchell Trubisky that made the playoffs. You know, Atlanta. Atlanta's in the four spot. Detroit is in the seventh spot. Carolina is eight. They're going to need quarterbacks, or at least they're going to at least look at a quarterback because you got Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan. You know, Ryan is, what, 36? Stafford's, what, 32? Maybe you could trade if you don't want to draft one. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo, his future in San Francisco. I like how they say they think he's going to be there next year. That doesn't sound good. Like, hey, what's your thoughts on Jimmy Garoppolo? We think he's going to be here next year. Wouldn't be so sure there. What do the Colts do? Is Phillip Rivers coming back? Do the Colts want him back? Let's see how they perform in the playoffs. Drew Brees won't be back. Are they sold on Taysom Hill? Like Sean Payton, I know he loves Taysom Hill, but the fact that he almost drafted or wanted to draft Patrick Mahomes a couple of years ago would lead you to believe they would be one of those keep an eye on teams. And they're going to be those teams. But then you have some of these openings here. You have these openings where you have Justin Herbert has proven himself. Deshaun Watson's proven himself. Sam Darnold is not. Jacksonville's going to have a new head coach. You know, Miami is going to look at Tua. This upcoming year might be the make or break year for him, believe it or not. Can he win in a shootout? Can he put up the points? And these are questions that you're going to have with these quarterbacks. It doesn't take long before somebody formulates an opinion and goes, nope, okay, we got our quarterback. Like the Chargers know they have their quarterback. Bengals know they have their quarterback. I don't know if Miami has seen enough that they know who their quarterback is. And I understand, Tua, you want to give him time. It's just you're not afforded that luxury. The Eagles, do they know what they have? I shouldn't be even revisiting this topic. But do they know what they have at the quarterbacking position? I don't know if they know. Because is Carson Wentz your future? It doesn't sound like it. Has Jalen Hurts shown you enough where you go, he's our future? I don't think so. And then, of course, you have Nate Sudfeld. Welcome to the program. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. I love what Chase Young did. Now, if I'm his coach, I don't like it, but I like it from the entertainment value of, here's Chase Young, number two pick in the draft a year ago. He wants Tom Brady. He got Tom Brady, and he's Chase Young in that defense. They've played extremely well. They've been consistent. And here's Bruce Arians, the Tampa Bay head coach, on Chase Young saying that he wants Tom Brady.
He's a hell of a player. Obviously, you know, making him a captain as a rookie speaks volumes. And both those kids from Ohio State, he and McLaren, are great kids. And he's a handful, but so is Sweat. Payne, the rest of those guys, Ryan Kerrigan, I've had a ton of respect for a long time. So, yeah, we'll have our hands full. But, you know, that it's one of those games where you better watch what you wish for.
Yeah, I would never bet against Brady. I've learned never bet against Brady. Now, they may lose this game. They could lose this game. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost this game because I don't have confidence in really any team in the NFC right now. In the AFC, I do. Like, I feel like I know these teams. In the NFC, it feels like everybody is really flawed. I don't know what Seattle is. I have no idea. Green Bay looks great, but then there are times when they keep teams in games. Tampa Bay, I have no idea. No idea what I'm going to get. But if this would work out where Chase Young gets 2.5 sacks, Washington upsets Tampa Bay. This stays with Chase Young. That's legendary status. He called his shot against the greatest player of all time. Now, if they lose by 3 touchdowns and he doesn't have a sack, then that's one of those Brady at the end of the game. You know how Brady can hold a grudge. That Brady, you know, he might even want to go over and shake his hand, you know, that just to say, hey, join the list, kids. You know, hey, you probably want to tell your grandkids that you made contact with me. You didn't do it during the game, but here, I'll let you, you know, I'll give you some tap here. But, hey, Chase Young and Washington, go get him. Yeah, go get him. There's so many good games when you think about it. I mean, the Ravens and the Titans is sneaky great. You know, everybody loves the Bills. And the Colts have, like, if you could talk about a generic 11-5 team, the Colts are your generic 11-5 team. The Rams in Seattle, Seattle's only favored by 3.5. And it looks like John Wolford is going to be the starting quarterback there instead of Jared Goff. Tampa Bay favored by 7. The Ravens favored by 4 on the road in Tennessee. Chicago at New Orleans, not so much. Saints by 9. And then you got Steelers by 4, Cleveland against Pittsburgh. So the AFC is just loaded. I mean, these are all quality teams. We haven't even brought in Kansas City yet. Yes, McLevin.
There's been breaking NFL news that might change that Steelers-Browns line.
More COVID. Browns COVID outbreak continues. Head coach Kevin Stefanski, 2 other coaches, 2 players have COVID issues. Sources telling Adam Schefter.
Oh, boy. And then I believe the Browns just tweeted that Stefanski has COVID.
Yeah, I just got that statement here. The Browns, yeah, they have contingency plans already starting. It's only Tuesday. You know, you got through the entire regular season, 256 games. But the Browns do have the last playoff game of the weekend, 8 o'clock Sunday night. I don't know how much time that buys them, but Stefanski will not be coaching in that game. At least that certainly appears to be the case. All right, let me get some phone calls in here. Paulie has the 2021 Heisman odds. The Heisman Award show is coming up tonight.
Devontae Smith, by the way, was not on any Heisman board preseason from Alabama. 0. You could not get odds on him.
I don't think he was considered the best receiver on his own team.
You're absolutely right.
That Waddle was.
And Najee Harris, the running back, was on the board. Right, and Mac Jones was, I think, 11th on the board. They always put an Alabama quarterback on the Heisman board out of default.
Yeah.
Can anyone guess the 2021 Heisman favorite today, Vegas-wise?
Quarterback?
Yes. The first 5 are quarterbacks. Ooh. First, I checked that. I think the first 8 are quarterbacks.
The top 8 are quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Here's
a hint.
Anguilalele.
DJ Uiagalelei is 2nd. He's 7-1 with Clemson. He's 2nd rated for the Heisman.
Okay. Who's taking over Alabama?
Bryce Young. He's a freshman. He's never played college football. I think he's had 4 snaps, but he is the 4th ranked. He's 12-1 for the Heisman. 4th odds. Once I say it, you're like, oh, of course. Not the name, but the school.
USC, Keaton Slovis?
Keaton Slovis, he's in that mix where he's tied for 4th.
Oh, all right, then give it to me.
JT Daniels from Georgia, De'Aaron King of Miami, Bryce Young of Alabama, Keaton Slovis are all in that mix. Sam Howell of UNC is 3rd.
Okay, who's 1?
The Chicken Nugget King, Sam Howell. Number 1, Spencer Rattler of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
A lot of stats, a lot of...
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah, he was a good basketball player, too.
But the top 3 are Spencer Rattler, DJ, and Sam Howell.
Didn't they play in the backcourt together with Mannion?
Nico Mannion.
Nico Mannion. That was the high school backcourt. Yes, McLovin.
By the way, Derek King, that sucked.
I know.
That was just brutal.
Because if he was, if he wasn't coming back, he wouldn't have played in that game.
That was an indictment of the ball system right there that he.
I know.
He said, I mean, that'll be a year ACL. He can't play next year, can
Just
he?
So I could say the name, Michael Penix Jr. of Indiana is 140-1.
140-1. And he's coming off surgery as well.
Yeah.
All right, some phone calls in here. Dan in Kentucky leads us off this hour. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind today?
Dan, huge fan. Been listening for 12 years. But today it finally happened. This is the worst take I've ever heard you have. You cannot honestly think that Flo from Progressive is a quality television show.
Yes, I do.
She's so bad they even had to go to the bullpen and bring in that squirrely Jamie fellow who's the only character worse than her.
You know what, Dan, you got a point, and I love that you've broken this down, but I have a little bit of a crush on Flo. I think she brings it. I think she brings it every single day. Every day is the Super Bowl to Flo on the Progressive commercials. Yes, Eden.
We can't forget, too, though, that they only went to that squirrely fella that's with her after she had done, like, 12 commercials playing seven characters each, where she was, like, the mom, the dad, the older brother, the little sister.
Yeah.
She's got range.
Didn't Eddie Murphy do this one time where he played, like, five different characters?
I'm flattered.
Yeah.
I'm flattered.
Yeah, yeah, Paul.
Checking my notes, Flo from the those commercials, she's been doing this since 2008. And they brought in that other guy, kind of like Oliver on the Brady Bunch, to spice things up when the ratings went down.
Yeah, I think Flo's underrated. I really do. I think she's underrated. Yeah, McLovin.
Should that be the Hour 3 poll? Put up the Geico lizard, Jake, Flo, the guy who tells you how not to be your parent?
Is the Geico, is that a lizard or is it a salamander?
It's a gecko. Yeah.
Oh, gecko.
No, what's the one you didn't like? The emu, no.
No, that Doug and an emu.
How about,
stupid.
How about the actor who can't read his lines the right way?
I think that guy's funny.
That guy's really funny.
I saw him in a show. I think he got an acting gig. But I thought that was funny. That's Liberty, Liberty, Liberty Mutual. See, I don't even remember the commercials. If you say, hey, have you seen that commercial? And it's on that, this. And I'll go, yeah, but I don't know who the actual advertiser is. Yeah, Paul.
Flo from Progressive, she's made some bank worth over $2 million just in commercial money. Her name is Stephanie Courtney, and she's been an actress for a long time. She was in ER. She was in Mad Men, a bunch of different shows she's had. So she's had a lot of work.
Not Paul, you don't have to tell me about Flo.
I know. I'm telling America. I'm just reading from what you told me.
Yes. You don't have to tell me about Flo.
You're deep.
Yeah.
You're ankle deep.
Hustle and Flo.
That's you.
That's me. Hustle and Flo.
We'll get her in studio when all this clears up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we get Jake from State Farm.
Yeah.
I like to Zoom with him, find out what's going on with the guns, because that feel, I don't know if he'd pass the test right now.
It's questionable.
Yeah.
Remember when Geico did, like, they had those caveman guys about a decade ago?
Not good.
But they were so popular that I think they got a sitcom off that.
Yes, they did.
Roast duck with mango salsa.
Yeah.
Those guys are great.
They had a good run.
I love the, like, pretentious caveman. That was awesome.
The only one I liked is when he was driving in his golf cart and he, like, bangs into the other golf carts of the guys he's playing with. Other than that, and then when I saw they got a sitcom, I went, God. That was kind of a one-trick pony there. I didn't know if it was going to last. But I had the under.
I think you could do 60 seconds of it at a pop. Yeah. I don't know, you could do 24 minutes.
We're really investing in the caveman. Yes, Paul.
ABC had the Geico caveman the show. It lasted 3 episodes. Quickly canceled.
I had the under. I thought it would be less than that. I thought it'd be a one and done.
That's 57 commercials worth of content right there. 3 shows.
It's all about content. Let me see. What else do we have here? Esteban. Oh, look who came back. Esteban, Raiders fan, had the bet with Paulie, and Esteban is calling up to pay it off.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Esteban.
Dan. How are you all doing?
So recap the bet that you had with Paulie about the Raiders with, I think, winning at least 10 games.
Yeah, so I had him winning 10 games this year, and for the first half of the season, I think I was doing pretty well. Of course, we decided to jump off a cliff and not really look back. So that was definitely unforeseen in my bet. But just as you know, I learned to not bet against Brady, I learned how to not bet against Pauly this year. So it's
And then you're going to do a pie to the face. Is that what you're going to do?
Correct. So I have it in the works right now. I just moved to Hawaii. So instead of Esteban in California, it's Esteban in Hawaii now. But being in the military, I think I might have lost the bet, but I won in life. So,
all right, well, send the video to us or send a picture to us paying off the bet, Esteban, okay?
I will, Dan.
Thank you, buddy. Be safe. Yes, Paul.
And maybe Esteban can send us a Marine shirt from, I think he's a Marine.
Yeah.
Maybe he can send us a Marine shirt from where he's stationed.
Yeah.
We'll wear it on the air.
But as he said, he's the big winner. He's known.
Was it nine games was the bet?
That they would win 10. I think the over under 9.5.
Okay.
And he went over. With 10. It's hard to keep track. Mario usually keeps track of all of our bets.
I'm hearing rumblings that Fritzy had some type of bet with somebody around Washington making the playoffs this year. And again, I've heard some rumblings out of the back. I've heard some rumblings on Twitter that Fritzy made some type of bet before the season saying Washington would not make the playoffs.
Ooh.
And I don't know if it's true.
Well, Todd conveniently forgets.
No, I'm trying to think. I vaguely remember, so I don't remember the exact details. Right? It's possible. We'd have to go check the archives, but whatever punishment I need to accept.
Well, this audience will remind us. They'll let us know.
I also said Denver would go 9-6-1. We saw that one.
Yes, you did.
It's funny, though, that after all these years of doing this, none of us have thought to start writing down the bets when we make them.
Well, we're usually caught up in the emotion of it, and then we're like, now I'll bet you, and then we just move on.
And then, no way they win the NFC East. No way. No way they do.
I can't. Todd rarely goes out on a limb. He rarely climbs the tree.
And what am I passionate about any other team except the Broncos that I would go in on a Washington bet? That just seems
yes, Pauling.
I think I had a bet once where when Ryan Kerrigan was getting drafted out of Purdue, I bet my life that he'd be compared to J.J. Watt or something like that. I actually bet my entire life and I lost. But luckily you didn't collect.
Not yet.
No, eventually you're going to pay.
I mean, Ryan Kerrigan's career's not over, Paul.
Mine is.
You just compared him to J.J. Watt. So he has been compared to J.J. Watt.
High motor.
Right now, who's better, Ryan Kerrigan or J.J. Watt?
At life?
No.
Football. Watt will be a Bear next year at this time.
I'm just saying, Paulie, is Ryan Kerrigan
Kerrigan's
better?
Been consistent.
Is he better than J.J. Watt right
Absolutely
now?
Absolutely not. You think I'm getting off that hill? Come on. You mean just meet me?
I got a stat here for you. Oh, this is so good. It's so Paulie. Best record through the first 50 starts by starting quarterbacks. This is just active quarterbacks here. All right? Best record winning percentage, okay? Tom Brady is one. Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson Jr. III are second, tied for second. Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers, Dak Prescott are tied for fifth. Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, Mitchell Trubisky.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day.
Whoa!
Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
All he does is win. After Trubisky, then it's Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson, Nick Foles, Cam Newton, Drew Brees, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk D. Cousins.
We don't have time to list all the quarterbacks behind Mr.
Are you? Well, based off that, you want to sign up Mitchell Trubisky for 5 more years?
Yes, I do. I'm going on record. This is going to be a disaster. This is going to be. You should mark this one down.
Oh, no. We're recording. Yes, McLovin. What?
Yeah, I wanted you to get him on the record with that. It's, I mean, how?
All Mitchell Trubisky does is win. That's all he does.
Trubisky.
He's sort of a Jimmy Garoppolo type. All he does is win. Yes, McLovin.
You haven't let me complain about how CeeDee Lamb screwed my boy Andy Dalton in that Giants game, but whatever.
Yeah, I thought CeeDee Lamb was going to be great.
He's going to be really good, but he dropped everything. I think he led the league.
You know, I would think that catching is really important with receivers. So if you just say, man, that dude can run some great routes. Hey, what's his strength? You should see him run a route. That's his strength? Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody pointed out that, I think Paulie said this, Metcalf dropped everything his rookie year.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys, you can learn that, right?
Yes, Tom.
Didn't the Raiders do that for a while? They just got the fastest guys, not worried about whether they were going to catch a ball or anything, but as long as they just run past the cornerbacks.
Well, I think that Cliff Branch could hang on the football. Bob Hayes with the Cowboys could hang on the football. These guys now, I mean, it's who's the Texans receiver drives me crazy? Will Fuller. Oh, my God. If you stop the video right before the ball gets to him, he might be one of the great receivers of all time. It's just once you keep playing the video and the ball gets to him and then he drops it and you go, you got to be kidding me, Will. Yes, Paul.
Remember a couple of years ago, the Bengals took John Ross out of Washington because he ran like a 3.5 second 40-yard dash? He's had 20 starts in 4 years. He's perpetually injured.
Yes, McLovin.
I love your guy, Michael Pittman Jr. He's really good. I mean, one of many really good young receivers.
I thought the Colts did a great job. I loved Pittman more than Taylor. I thought Pittman, they were getting a football player. And I know that I sound like an analyst. And all next thing I'll say is the National Football League. But, you know, Pittman, the son of an NFL player. And he's a tough kid. I like him a lot. Yeah, Paul.
There's a great video out there. It's of the Vikings war room with the draft. They wanted Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver out of LSU. And they're all sitting there going, well, we're not going to get him. We're not going to get him. Eagles are on the clock next. They want a wide receiver. They need receivers like anything. And the receivers, you know, the announcement goes, the Eagles take Jalen Reagor out of TCU. No. And the room starts going crazy. They're like, oh, no. Oh, they're laughing. And they're like, get Justin Jefferson on the board. Go, go, go. Just they couldn't believe it. Rookie deer.
Yeah. You know what? I blame that on Nate Sudfeld for some reason. Whatever happens in Philadelphia from now on, like if the Sixers, you know, have a bad postseason, Nate Sudfeld. Yes, McLean.
In the Howie Roseman got 5 questions about Justin Jefferson yesterday. It was a bigger story. That is like the number one narrative. Like people think he might lose his job because of that pick.
They yeah, he's the
so
GM.
Mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all they talked about yesterday. It was like the lead story in the Inquirer.
Yes, Todd.
I think even Nate Sudfeld looked up here and said, you sure you want to do it? All right, I'm going in.
Thank you, Todd. We're going to take a break. Daniel Jeremiah, who does a great job analyzing the draft. He also calls the Charger games. How good is that opening there with the Chargers? He'll join us coming up 23 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. I just had a Built Bar, and I'm, you know, we're dwindling supplies here. This stockpile is not a pile anymore.
It's maple pecan, I think.
No, I had the salted caramel.
Oh, did you?
Yes. The Built Bar is great. It's a protein bar. They taste great. They taste like candy bars. And there's so many different flavors. Yes.
And they got this colorful wrapping and these great names and cheesecake this and chocolate coconut. It's just it's a good time. That's why you're having trouble finding them here.
Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. And if you're looking to lose weight or you need to have that snack before you go work out or after you work out, perfect. You want to stay health conscious? This is perfect. Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code DP, and you get 20% off your first order. You're going to get them, and then you're going to eat them, and you're going to go, wait, this is good for me? Yeah, it is. Yes, 18 flavors there. The promo code DP, 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Why not eat something that's good for you that actually tastes good? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. More phone calls coming up. Go the extra mile, your very own tricked out Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win in Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. To enter, get official rules, visit foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. By January 24th, Mercedes-Benz vans. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dpshow. We make way for Daniel Jeremiah, one of our favorites, NFL Network analyst. He is the color analyst on radio for the Chargers and a former NFL scout. You can follow him at Daniel Jeremiah on Twitter, at Move the Sticks, host of Move the Sticks podcast, along with Bucky Brooks, who joins us on the program. Daniel, thanks for joining us. I wanted to have you on to talk about the Chargers opening here. I think it's the best opening, but I want to know what you think, even though maybe you'd be territorial here. But how good is the opening head coaching vacancy?
Well, I agree with you, Dan. I think it's number one on the list. And I think when you just look at it, and you can make a strong case for Jacksonville because you have the first overall pick, the extra picks. the salary cap money. I get all that. And we can say, and I believe it, that you feel really good about Trevor Lawrence being a really big time player, but there's still, that's not a 100% slam dunk, as none of these picks are. Justin Herbert, I've seen it. I've seen him throw for 4,000 yards, 31 touchdowns on an NFL field against NFL competition with an offensive line that's not great. So I know I've got a young stud at the most important position. That's where you first start, which would get you excited about the job. And then when you look at the other pieces in place with, you know, with Keenan Allen, you look on the defensive side of the ball with Joey Bosa at the first level, Kenneth Murray at the second level, and Derwin James coming back at the third level. I mean, you've got a lot of good players in place there. So to me, I think it is clearly the best job out there.
If I said you could have Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence?
Well, right now I would take Justin Herbert because I know it. I've seen it. There's no guesswork there about how he's going to play. He's played at an elite level on the NFL stage. So I'll have a higher grade on Trevor Lawrence coming through the draft process. I mean, now I can't pretend I didn't see what I saw.
Have you seen enough of Tua?
Look, I think Tua, that jury's still out. I think we can do two things. I think we can stamp Justin Herbert a hit without having to make a decision on Tua. I think we can allow that to breathe a little bit before we decide whether or not that's the right pick for them going forward. I do agree, though, that with the third pick in the draft, the Dolphins need to do their homework on these other quarterbacks. And if there's one that they feel like is a much better player than Tua, then yeah, they'd have to consider that. But I don't agree with the philosophy of, well, we didn't see enough from Tua, so just throw him away and we have to take a quarterback.
We had David Pollack on yesterday from ESPN, and he said that he thought that Justin Herbert was, that Oregon ran the wrong offense for his talents. And maybe the same with Clemson, with Trevor Lawrence, that it's not middle of the field, it's all on the sides. Your thoughts?
Yeah, it was interesting because you start to question things, right? You look at your evaluations, and then this year's so weird, Dan. I'm having to go back and watch more of last year's tape on these opt-out guys, right? Because they didn't play this year. So I find myself watching more of Justin Herbert. So here I am calling their games on Sundays, and then on Tuesday I'm doing draft prep, and I'm seeing Justin Herbert. It looks like two different guys. I mean, it didn't look like the same player. And it was a lot of bubble screens. Look, they ran the ball. It's Mario Cristobal has a philosophy. He's an offensive line guy. They want to be physical, and they won the dang Rose Bowl. So, I mean, he did his job. But you did not feature Justin Herbert in that offense the way he could have been featured with what he can do down the field. I mean, it was that Kansas City game from the first game. I remember thinking, like, holy crud, I didn't see this. Like, this is a whole nother level.
Yeah, and I know that we shouldn't do this, but we do this, and that is Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are hits. And Tua, we're not quite sure about. And I said, you know, we have to give him a little bit of time because he's playing it tentatively. And, you know, here's the thing, and you know this better than most people because you were an NFL scout. I don't know how to assess the greatness of a quarterback based on, like, Mac Jones. He's going to have four receivers, you know, Alabama in the last 2 years ago in the first round. And the best receiver on their roster is a guy who's probably is not going to play. Devontae Smith probably wins the Heisman, and Waddle was considered the best receiver there. So how do you assess the talents here?
Well, this is not something that's new. I mean, when you go back, I remember, you know, somebody in the NFL sent me a text after Tua had struggled a little bit and said, hey, are you at all worried this is Matt Leinart? You know, somebody who was surrounded by so much talent, and then you had a tough time separating between what's him and what's his supporting cast. And I thought, look, it's a fair question. You know, I think Tua has a little more twitch in his body than Matt did. And there's, you know, but there is some of that difficulty in the evaluation of being able to separate what's around him. But I go back to, you know, look who Deshaun Watson was throwing to during his career at Clemson. I mean, there were studs all over the place, but you had to be able to separate and say, okay, even with all that around him, he does some special things. But that's the thing that's so hard about this job, Dan. And you flip it around on the opposite side and say, well, Josh Allen completed 56% of his passes at Wyoming. Well, look who he's throwing to. Look who he's got. So that's what it's – I know a lot of people like to sit back and think this thing's pretty easy just to say this guy can play, this guy can't play. There's a lot you got to sort through.
But if we redrafted that draft with Josh Allen,
he'd be the first one.
Yeah. But what was it? Because I was told, and, you know, when I got this information on Sunday and I came in on Monday and I said, guys, I didn't even tell the Danettes. I said, the Browns, I know who they're taking number one. And they're going, oh, this guy, this. They, no one said Baker Mayfield. Yeah. And then I said, yeah, but I don't know if it's a smokescreen because I thought they liked Josh Allen. Yeah. And then I realized that Josh Allen may have been the smokescreen here and that they were taking Baker Mayfield. So what was the apprehension of about Josh Allen?
Well, I think there's – look, Baker had a higher floor than Josh. So you knew with Baker, as much football as he'd played and where he was in the process, you know he was going to step in. Now, he might be banging his head on the ceiling year one, but you're not going to miss on him. You know, you're going to get a good player. Whereas with Josh, it was like, man, this could hit huge. I mean, you could have John Elway on your hands here. But there's also – it's going to take some time and there's some risk involved. And I think with that number one overall pick, they were sitting there saying, we've screwed this up for so long in Cleveland. We've got to get more of the sure thing, which they felt like Baker was. So it was just a floor-ceiling argument. Look at Josh. I was there for Josh's first start. It was against the Chargers. And to see the ground that Josh has covered from when he first started that game to where he is now – there's a reason why Brian Daboll's, you know, on every coaching list here to get interviews, because they've done a phenomenal job of taking that raw talent and developing it into really kind of the envy of the league right now when you look at his age and what he's able to accomplish.
Talking to Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network analyst, if you're the Giants, or I should say the Jets, what do you do?
Yeah.
The Jets GM.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, it. Here's my, and I'm a big Sam Darnold fan. I love Sam. I had a huge grade on Sam coming through the draft process, and I still think that he's got a chance to be a really good player. But to me, it feels like a natural reset button here. You're going to bring in a new head coach. You get an opportunity to bring in a new quarterback. You start that rookie contract over, and off you go. You kind of, the clock starts right now, right? If you're Joe Douglas, this is your hire. You bring in your coach. You didn't pick Sam. You bring in your quarterback, and now you're judged on this going forward. That, to me, makes the most sense. Now, the thing that's fascinating is if you had asked me a week ago, I would say, well, man, this points to Zach Wilson when you look at how he played this year, and he's so exciting, man, the throws he can make. There's a lot there. And then Justin Fields goes out and plays the best game of his life. And now you're left saying, okay, let's take our time here. Let's not rush this. Let's see what happens here against Alabama. Because if he goes out there and torches Alabama, Dan, I'm having a little bit of flashbacks to Deshaun Watson, where if you remember that year, his last year at Clemson, there were turnovers, you know, a decent amount of turnovers down in the red zone. He did not have a real clean year. But his closing argument was what he did against Nick Saban in Alabama was a darn good closing argument. And Justin Fields is going to get the same opportunity.
And it's strange, though, when we were aghast. We were up in arms when, you know, we realized the Bears were passing on Deshaun Watson. I don't remember anybody going, can you believe they passed on Patrick Mahomes? It was Watson, not Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's, you know, Ryan Pace gets a lot of grief for the Trubisky pick, and everybody, for the most part, points to the Mahomes side of it because he's been an MVP. But to me, the argument was Deshaun, because Deshaun had the track record at that, you know, had played a high level throughout his whole career. Mahomes was fun to watch, but I went back in my notes. I said, this is all screens and scrambles. It is fly by the seat of your pants, and it is up and down, and this is going to take some time. I mean, Pat went to the perfect place for Andy Reid and Alex Smith to have a year to just kind of pour into him and kind of polish him up, and then the rest is history. But I think that's revisionist history if you look back on that and say, man, how did you not take Patrick Mahomes?
But the fact that Sean Payton was going to take Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you had Sean Payton, you had Arizona that liked Mahomes. But I think that most teams, if you were to kind of pull them through that process, Deshaun Watson would have been the number one quarterback for the majority of teams. And I don't know that Mitchell Trubisky would have been number one for many at all. So that,
what do you do with
argument.
Trubisky now? You made the playoffs. It feels like the Bears are in no man's land with their quarterbacking situation.
So here's the kind of the challenge there is everybody wants to get rid of people, but they didn't want to tell you who they're going to replace him with. So who's your better option? You're in no man's land in the draft to get somebody that's going to come in my opinion, to be better than Mitch right away. You've got a weird situation because you didn't pick up the fifth year option, and you've also got Allen Robinson who's up. So like if I'm looking at it from Mitchell Trubisky's standpoint, I'd have to look up what the franchise tag number would be. But the Bears, if they franchise Trubisky, they're basically saying goodbye to Allen Robinson because he's going to go and get a bunch of money with these teams that need weapons. So if I'm Trubisky, I'm saying, hey, here's the number. I'll come in with a guarantee just below that number, and I'll sign a contract. But I'm going to have incentives that can lift me up beyond that number, and that would free you up to franchise Allen Robinson. But they're in a little bit of a mess there with that one.
You work with the Eagles, the Browns, and the Ravens. You were a scout for them. But let me ask you what the Eagles were doing with Nate Sudfeld and when they were doing it with Nate Sudfeld. Just explain that to me from a football perspective, a front office coaching perspective, because, you know, us fans have given our opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's – you know, there is something to it, and it's been done in the past where at the end of the year, maybe in the last game or two, you want to get a look at some young players. And that's fine. If you come out in that game and say, look, we're going to start this last game. Nate Sudfeld's been here for 4 years. We want to see what he can do. We're going to start Nate Sudfeld in this game so we can look at him. To me, it wasn't the issue of Nate Sudfeld playing in that game. It was when he played. To me, it would be like you're on a concert tour and you say, we want to give this kid a shot. Yeah, well, he comes out before the three other acts before the main act. You don't lead up and then drop this new guy in at the prime portion of the show. And that's kind of what happened with that. I don't have a problem with him playing in that game. I just think it was executed extremely poor.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, the analogy would be you come out for an encore, and Nate Peterman is the guy you come out with the encore. You know, you want to hear Stairway to Heaven, and you got Nate Peterman, or Nate Sudfeld, I should say. Nathan Peterman, same guy, isn't it?
Same guy.
Hey, great to talk to you as always. We appreciate your time.
Real quick, Dan, last time I was here, you said nothing behind me football related. And I said, what am I going to do? Put an App State helmet behind me? It's going to also give me credibility. And you said, well, maybe it would. So I doubled up. I went one App State helmet over one shoulder and another App State helmet over the other, just for you.
I still don't know what the wheel, it looks like a movie projector.
Yeah, it looks like Mickey Mouse ears when it's over my head,
yeah, it's
too.
Not a
I don't
good
know.
Look.
I don't know. They got set designers for this thing, Dan. I don't know.
It's like a boutique. It's just a weird, like, are those flowers real?
The flowers are fake, and I don't even know how to change a flat tire. So to me, like, having gears behind me is a little, it's not very authentic, you know.
It's like the wheels are turning, I think. Is that what they're trying to, is that what's happening here? When I ask you questions, I can see the wheels turning, even though they're not?
See, when I look at it, I think of a movie and film, and I think of a flop, and I just think of all the guys I've got wrong going into the draft, and it just, I'm reminded of it every time I look over my shoulder.
You got Mouseketeer ears, is what you do. Thank you, Daniel.
Appreciate you, buddy.
All right. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, the Chargers radio color analyst. You can follow him on Move the Sticks, at Move the Sticks, and that's the podcast as well. He's a smart guy. I always enjoy talking to him. He gives you great insights. And he doesn't have any agenda either. You know, he's just, you know, his job is to process things. You know, here's the. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Here's an update on the Cleveland Browns. Coach Kevin Stefanski has tested positive for COVID. He is asymptomatic, according to Mary Kay Cabot. He will coach virtually during the week for the Steelers game. He must miss the game. There are some new players. One of the two new players who tested positive is significant, according to Mary Kay Cabot. How many people on the Browns could that be when you say significant? So quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Myles Garrett already had COVID, but that's according to Mary Kay Cabot. They have the late game on Sunday night. There's no wiggle room. When you get to the playoffs, there's no wiggle room. I don't know if you can go, hey, we can move it to Monday. Is it fair to the Steelers to move it to Monday? Like, Steelers, it feels like they've been kind of jacked around a little bit here this season a couple of times where they've had, you know, maybe the Ravens game, maybe with the Titans, had a couple of games that were moved around. So what is a fair... fair decision, and what would be a competitive advantage here? Can you move it to Monday? Would they move it to Monday? Yeah, Paulie.
Like you said, that would be unfair to the other team. Imagine they moved it to Monday night and the Steelers now have, if they advance, the Steelers would have one less prep day for their next opponent. Maybe the playoffs should be on the weekend. Whatever you guys play on the weekend or you don't play on the weekend, bring the team that you have on Saturday or Sunday and we'll play.
Yeah, McLovin.
I think you have a great point that playing the Ravens on a Wednesday threw their whole season into total upheaval. They were terrible the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Because you want competitive balance, but then can I do that to the Steelers again? I know it's the playoffs, but you have no wiggle room here. You have to get these games in. And I don't know if they have – I'm sure they have contingency plans, but I don't know if anybody has addressed this, if the commissioner has and said, if something happens, we can always move these games. Yeah, McLovin.
What do you think this means to Browns fans?
Oh, I think you're just happy you're in. I mean, I feel bad for Kevin Stefanski. He's the one that got them in his first season there, and then you don't even get to coach. You're going to be, missing the game. How much involvement can he have as the head coach watching the game? Is he going to have a headset on, communications? I don't know. It's kind of strange. All right, this day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have for me?
This day in sports history, Babe Ruth was sold by the New York Yankees, or by the Boston team, to the New York Yankees for $125,000. The owner of the Boston team at the time was having financial troubles because a play he invested
in.
That's correct. You know your baseball and your theater.
And Broadway. So. I saw Hamilton twice.
Original cast. OC. That's the only good one.
Okay. What, Todd?
Nothing. I'm excited about sharing with what I learned to you.
Oh, okay.
Could I roll that out?
Oh, no. I you were leaning into your microphone, and I didn't know if you had something.
I was preparing. Usually go to me first for what we learned, so I was leaning in preparation.
All right. McLovin, final results of the poll question.
Which Matt you want, Ryan or Stafford? 57% Stafford.
Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Paul, I'll start with
you.
Thanks, Dan. Chris Fowler back in Bristol, Connecticut, like an eclipse.
I've stayed at the Radisson, now the Doubletree.
Did you ever kick it down at the Cadillac Ranch in Southington? That was like the bar near Bristol.
No, I went to the Hall of Fame. It was called the Hall of Fame Bar.
Ah.
I think it's called Cadillac now. It was Hall of Fame back then.
Okay.
Isn't there like Bleachers over there?
Bleachers
too,
was also on. I went to.
Solid Wings at Bleachers.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is one we used to go to get wings? You and I after the show. I can't remember the name of it. Great Wings. Sliders. No,
oh, Sliders.
Oh, Sliders.
You and I were fixers at Sliders.
Sliders had some wings.
Seton Wings.
Seton, what did you learn today?
Chris Fowler has a Heisman vote.
McLovin, what did you learn today?
The highlight of Bristol, Connecticut is an elevator testing place.
What did I learn today, Todd?
That Chris Fowler, who has had 54 COVID tests, gets the Heisman results during the commercial break right before the announcement.
What we learned brought to you by mdrivedan.com. Get free shipping and 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Get the supplement I take every day. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Oh, unbelievable. We don't have time for what we learned from Todd today. That's
not cool.
mdrivedan.com. One more item as we close out the show, Mercedes-Benz. Man, great sponsor for us, and now they have something to give back to you. We have the Fox Sports Radio and DanPatrick.com contest to win a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. Totally tricked out, TVs, even a wood pellet grill in there. You're going to love it. And it doesn't cost you anything to enter. Sweepstakes end January 24th, 2021. And all you do is go to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. If you want to know about going the extra mile, then you know about a Mercedes-Benz. Mercedes-Benz van, the Sprinter van, the versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. They got all the bells and whistles there as well. The MBUX voice command technology, you get directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and more. You go the extra mile, Mercedes-Benz goes there with you. Some equipment described is optional. Go to danpatrick.com to enter.